And Father, we stand against any realm of power that says any different, because your word is true, and we are believing that these people will see you, Lord, will see you and manifest in their lives, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that redeemer. There is a power and that's going to take over, and there is a repentant spirit against that sin of their world, and they are going to come and repent for their sins and receive you, Lord. And we believe that, we prophesy that in that world, as I have come from that world and I believe and I receive, Lord, there is a harvest of souls. There's a harvest of souls that we are going to harvest, and for your name, Lord, and we're going to receive those souls in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Show them the vision like we see in our vision with Jesus Christ, Lord.
Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we see the vision of Christ when we were Muslim, and he showed the Muslim nations, not only the Muslim nation, the Jews and the Buddhists and the Sikhs, every one of them, in the name of Jesus, you touched their heart and showed them the vision of Christ, because Christ the way and the light and the truth. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that vision when I was in the Middle East, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. You bless our, you bless them, every one of them, in Jesus' name. And you show them who is the light and the truth with you, Almighty God, like you show us, in the name of Jesus, in Independence area, and every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ, in our country. You bless our nation, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. You bless our president, you open his heart, light, the truth, and our government, in the name of Jesus. Independence in every city, and every town, and every county, in the name of Jesus Christ. We love you, and we thank you, and we worship your glory and name. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Praise hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord, you said no man can come to you unless the Spirit of God draw them. Father, we're asking that you would draw, God, the Muslim nations to you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. That, God, even now, Father, that you are preparing hearts, God, to hear and to see you, Father. We ask that you would give them visions and dreams, Lord God, that they would be free from the bondage of Islam, Lord God, and come into the freedom of Jesus Christ. Move, Lord God. Dispatch your angels, Father God, in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for this opportune Kairos time, God, in Jesus' name. That this is an opportunity, Father God, for people around the world to see you. God, I pray that you would put in them a hope, Father God, a hope for something new, a hope for change, Lord God, a hope for freedom, what is real, what is truth, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh God of truth, reveal yourself, Lord. Dispel the lie. Dispel the darkness in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for every man, woman, and child that has fasted for these last month, that they have fasted. And little did you know that you are fasting and that your fast would be given to me. Thank you, God, that their fast is leading them to you, Lord, in the end. Thank you, God, that for the children, Lord, that are praying on their face every day, that they would question this religion and this dead God that won't hear their sorrowful prayers at night and in the morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you're going to walk among them and speak to their little tender hearts. We speak to those hearts. See the things you're to see. We speak to the spirits. Hear the things you're supposed to hear. Jesus, I ask you to single out. I ask you to single out the men that have taken lives, the men that have taken Christian lives, and I ask you to reveal yourself to them, that you would remove the shame from them, that they would be persecuted for your name. I ask you to speak to the men. I ask you to speak to the women, God, that you would show them how to honor their husbands with your love and not to fear them. We speak to that spirit in Jesus' name, and we say that your lie has come to an end in Jesus' name. And we say that in this generation, there will be the time and the generation that walks with you from a young age. God, that old men will not know what to do. They will look and say, we can't stop them. Look at the authority. We can't stop them. We thank you that you're blessing these young people with your authority at such a young age, that they will speak with your spirit and they will speak your words, Lord, and that men will be confounded. They will be dumbfounded by your wisdom, Lord, just as the Pharisees were. Lord, I ask you to reveal yourself to the radicals, of Islam, that these sheikhs, as they're praying, as they're singing their songs and they're praying their prayers to their dead God, that you would reach in supernaturally, God, and that you would reveal yourself to them. Thank you, God, that even in the midst of thousands of men, as they're singing their song, that Holy Spirit, you will reveal and open their eyes, just as the king saw the writing on the wall. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing that, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you have revealed the plans of the enemy. You are revealing the plans of the enemy tonight. Reveal his falsehood with your truth and with your light, Lord. That light is more powerful than any other worldly light. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. He's been exposed. I know that.
And I would just like to legislate Isaiah 42, starting with verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you, O Muslim nation, in righteousness. And I will take hold of your hand, and I will keep you, and will make you to be a covenant for the peoples of the earth and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Father, we say, let it be so according to your word, that the Muslim nation will rise up and have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of the living God says. And even tonight, Lord God, according to your word in Joel, that, Lord God, your Spirit shall be poured out upon all flesh, and that there'll be dreams and there'll be visions, Lord God, and they'll see the goodness of a living God who's alive, and they'll experience the love of a father who came to save them from Islam. So thank you, Father God, for a dissatisfaction for Islam and a searching of hearts, Lord God. I thank you, Father, as we join together with these powerful prayers that have gone forth with the authority and the bloodline and the spiritual bloodline. Lord God, we say, let it be done. We legislate it in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Bless you, Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You know, it's a real privilege and an honor to connect with the Spirit of God, and that God uses his people, us, to legislate his will on the earth. That's a privilege. It's an honor to be part of that. Praise the Lord. I'll go over just a few announcements and then jump into some things here. We have our lake service coming up next Sunday, so we will not have any service here, any gathering here next Sunday morning. It'll be out at the lake. We also have sign-up sheet, as usual, for food and things out there. It was confirmed this week that Grace Christian Fellowship is going to come out and be with us, so that will be a great time to connect with them and the fellowship and get to build some more unity in that. We have a couple that are wanting to be baptized. If anybody else would like to be, please let us know about that. And then last week I mentioned this, if anybody's interested in being a youth friend in the Independent School District, we do have applications out there. But I just want to talk about that for a second. If you're interested, what a youth friend does is they first fill out the application, then they go through some training, and it's only a couple hours worth of training. And then they connect you with a student, typically if you're a male with a male student, female with a female student, and typically it's elementary age kids. Sometimes you'll get a middle school to start with. And what I do, I'm a youth friend, and more specifically, they kind of call me a lunch buddy. And what a lunch buddy does is they meet their student during their lunch time. And when I was doing this at Fairmount, my student now moved to Nowland, so I'm going to be going over to Nowland Middle School. I'd find out whatever time his lunch was. I would meet with him. You can buy your lunch right there for a couple bucks, and then we'd go in the library and we'd eat together and just kind of share and get to know one another. He always liked to play games, so they have all kinds of board games there. We'd play some board games for about a half hour, 45 minutes, and just connecting with a student. It is a great opportunity for the church to infiltrate the school district, and the school district is wide open for that. And then also, if you don't want to do that, you can actually be a reading buddy. And that's another program where you'll get connected with usually like a specific grade or a class. And during their reading time, you can come in and read to students if you would prefer to do something like that. Obviously, it's during the day. You don't meet with your students at any other time except during school hours. You don't meet with them afterwards, before, during the summer, anything like that. It's all during school hours. And it's usually less than an hour a week, something like that, that you can connect. If you're interested, and I know that, you know, most people work during the day, so it's very difficult, but if you even work close and you have a lunch period that matches up or wants to do something, if you would like to, if you want more information, you can talk to me, and we also have applications out there that you can get connected that way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes. Oh, wow, that's great. Good deal. That's great. And you know, one of the things that I've noticed, not only are you connecting with a student and kind of helping the student, but you're also connecting with the faculty there, and you're meeting the student's teacher, the principals, the secretaries, and you just have more influence that you can share and speak and things like that. So it is a good way, and if you just want to make a difference in a young person's life, it's a wonderful opportunity to do that. You guys excited just about life? Huh? Anybody discouraged? Anybody discouraged at all? I'd like to have some of you come and share some testimonies here in a minute, but I just want to share a few things. Along the line of discouragement, and also the church. You know, we've talked a lot about what the church is and what God says the church is, the Greek word ekklesia, which means it's a governing legislative body of God's people. And over the years, the enemy really has come against that, the establishment of church as a legislative governing body. Because if you remember in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, this is how I'm going to build my church, basically how I'm going to get my will accomplished on earth, that whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he did that with the illustration of Peter, knowing that he was the Christ, saying, only God spoke that to you. Then he said, this is how I'm going to do this. This process of building, Jesus, of building the church, because the church isn't everything. The kingdom of God is everything. And the church is a vehicle, if you will, is the instrument by which the kingdom of God comes to the earth. But first and foremost, it must be legislated in any region, city, area, town, whatever, wherever we're at, that God speaks to us, to his people, so we can speak forth God's will into the earth. And it's the same way that God, when he created the worlds, when he spoke and said, let there be light, light happened. When we hear what God is saying and we're speaking what he's saying, it's just as effective and just as powerful as if God spoke it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So it's powerful. And the enemy, Satan, hates that. He doesn't want us to know that we have any authority and any power or be able to hear what God is saying. And so he has really come against the church. He's watered it down for it to be what it really is today in so many circles, that it's just a place we come and on Sunday and we somebody preaches, we sing some songs and we slap each other on the back, and you know, everybody kind of goes home. And it's been this repetitive, really neutered, if I could say that, eunuch when it comes to power and authority. And God's changing that, and I sense that in a really big way. I know he's changing that with us and expanding our concept. But, you know, the church was never intended to become pastor-run. Never. If you look in the New Testament even, I think it's only twice, it might be three times, where the word pastor is even mentioned. God didn't call 12 pastors to him, he called 12 apostles. First he called them disciples, he discipled them, and then he called them apostles. And the apostles went and began to plant churches, and that's where the birthing of the church happened. But through a period of time, that it's all become very pastoral run in the pastoral mindset. And we've turned church into being, since it's run by a pastor, and the pastor really doesn't have the gifting and the calling of God on their life for legislation and for what the church ought to be and the calling things forth. That's more of a prophetic and apostolic, because the New Testament also says the church is built on what? The foundation of, not pastors, the apostles and the prophets. And so, because it's become very pastorally run and mindset, what we have done with the most of people coming is we've made them very needy and very dependent. Go ahead. I'm wanting some feedback anyway. Exactly. And most people go from church to church looking to get their need met. Now, some of that is okay, because God wants us to come to Him to get our needs met, but not to stay that way. We are to grow and to mature and to learn what really church is all about and how God has planted us in a region to establish and to see the kingdom of God manifest in any region. But if the devil can get us turned inwards and all we're concerned about is our own needs and trying to get our own needs met constantly, 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 and pastor, would you do this for me? And pastor, would you do that for me? And then we have the separation of the laity and the professional clergy, which God never intended for that to happen. And then we have all of these, and then we've got these mega churches and all kinds of churches having all kinds of social programs. I mean, we've got all kinds of clubs and stuff, and it doesn't look like anything like a New Testament church was ever supposed to be. But it's all been just cycling on trying to get people's needs met. And then we're living in this cycle, as I mentioned last week, where so much of the church, because we're there, we're not where God wants us to be, because we don't know who God has really called us to be. We don't know really the identity. We don't know the power and the ability He's given us. And we've stayed in this feed me, feed me, feed me mentality. What are you going to do for me? How are you going to get my needs met? And then we're in this cycle of the enemy attacks, we're back on our heels, and then we're spending time, how do we get out of this? And then we get out of that mess and we're back, okay, well, feed me, give me all this. And then bam, and we're on the defensive so much. And we spend so much of our time trying to figure out how we can overcome what the devil just did to us. Come on now.
We should be chasing the devil.
Exactly right. Look, God is the master at one-upmanship. You know what I mean by that? He knows the enemy's tactics. The Apostle Paul said, look, we are not ignorant. I'm going to add this word. We're not supposed to be ignorant of the devil's schemes. Amen. And what he does. We've talked the last couple weeks, one of his schemes is discouragement. One of his weapons is coming with discouragement. Discouragement, when discouragement comes, if we're really walking in faith and we're pursuing the Lord and what God wants for us, for our family, for our church, for our city, we really need to expect the counterattack of discouragement. And when discouragement comes, it really ought to be a sign to us, we're going in the right direction. Amen. We're going in the right direction. And then we need to learn how to overcome that and not be overcome by that. Because if we're not on the offense, we're going to be on defense. If we're not pursuing, we're going to be pursued. If we're not attacking, we will be attacked. Hello? And we can't just sit around and do nothing. And you know, one of the things is Christians are really good about, and I'm one of those, is praying and then doing nothing and waiting for God to do something. Amen. All right, let me just share something here real quick. Go to the book of Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah. That might be really way back there where your pagers are still nice and white and unmarked and the binding goes, you know, when you open up your Bible to it. And now I'm not going to do a whole exposition on here of Nehemiah, but I would encourage you to read this book. And I've just spent this last week kind of hitting a few things again through this. Nehemiah was, I guess, because he's not alive anymore, was Jewish, and he was a cupbearer. And Jerusalem was sieged at, while he was not a cupbearer in Jerusalem, but Jerusalem was sieged, the walls were knocked down, and the gates were burned with fire, and it was in a bad, bad shape, and many of the Jews had escaped, and some were killed, and all of this. And it says here in verse 3 of chapter 1, well, actually, verse 1, now it happened, let's just start at the beginning how we do that. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, that's a cool name, Hakaliah. Hey, Hakaliah. You just call him Hack. Hey, Hack. Now it happened, I might even not be pronouncing that right, but I like it. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hananiah, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity about Jerusalem. They said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. When I heard, this is Nehemiah speaking, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. You know, I was just captured by that. Because the state of the church that it's really in is very similar to this. And then I was kind of asked God, does anybody really care like Nehemiah did? Does anybody really care? Did it impact anybody's heart that say, you know what, the church is not in the shape. Jerusalem was not in the shape that God intended it to be. You know what walls represent? It was their protection against their enemies. That's why they built walls, keep the enemy out. I wept and mourned for days. And then he says this, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. It's so important, guys, that we are really seeking the Lord for his will and for his purpose. Nehemiah was fasting and praying before God, and he said, I beseech you, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and loving kindness of those who love him and keep his commandments. And it goes on, you can read this later. He was called, he went to the king gave him permission, gave him letters, sent with a delegation, and sent him to Jerusalem for the very purpose of rebuilding the city. I've said this so many times, Jesus only said in the New Testament he was building one thing, and that was the church. Because the church is the vehicle and the instrument which the kingdom of God is going to come. The kingdom of God can come to this city, but it's going to come through the church. See, we don't see anywhere in the world, really, there are been some little hot spots of some things and cities really changed. I don't know if any of you have seen the transformation video series back then. There's one in Guatemala, I believe it was, where cities have been changed by the presence of God. Business, politics, all kinds of things. But nowhere, even as good as that is, nowhere has it been to the degree I really believe God wants it to be, where the kingdom of God is really manifest and present there. And it's really because of the church. We aren't positioned, nor do we even understand what our purpose really is. in society. It's not to come and get my needs met. You know what? When we're working for God and we're a warrior for God, He just takes care of us. He takes care of us. If we would get our eyes off of our needs and onto His needs, He takes care of us. He provides for us. But the church, for so long, we've focused so much, how do I get a job, and how do I get money, and how do I pay my bills, and how do I get a wife, and how do I get this, and how do I get that, and how do I get, and how do I get, and how do I get? Instead, God says, well, why don't you focus on what I want? What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:33? He said, if you would do this, seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, I'll do all the rest. And the enemy has done such a great deceptive work to get our eyes and our focus on us and off of that. We quote that passage, we preach that passage, but we're still so trained in what church has become and not what church is supposed to be. Okay, when you get called to do what God wants you to do, there will be resistance. You can count on it. Chapter 2, verse 10, I'm just going to jump around a little bit. He says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about it, heard that Nehemiah is going to Jerusalem, heard that there was a prospect of rebuilding the walls, heard that the church was beginning to change, heard that they are talking about legislating now, they're talking political terms now, they're talking about hearing what God's will is, they're talking about speaking God's will into the city, into the region. That's very displeasing to our enemy, that someone had come to seek the welfare of the sons of Israel. Verse 17, then I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in. Jerusalem's desolate, its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach. I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me and also about the king's word which he had spoken to me. And they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite, Tobiah was probably a Jew himself. Official and Geshem the Arab. I got my cheek going one way and heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, what is this thing you are doing? I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard that? I have heard it time and time again in my head. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? I mean, all of a sudden, you start entertaining that, and there's all kinds of, this won't work, that's never, no, this, mock it. Who do you think you are? You know what? Look at what your past. Who do you think you are to do this? Who do you think you are to speak this, to prophesy that? Who do you think you are to legislate God's will? What is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Are you actually against God? Anybody? Raise your hand. You've heard stuff similar to this and much more. I have. Whoo! Ought to be a sign to us. Yeah, whose authority? Very good. So I, Nehemiah, answered them and said to them, the God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we his servants will rise and build, but you have no portion, right or memorial, in Jerusalem. And then the builders began to build. Look at chapter 4. Now it came about that when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became furious, very angry, and began mocking the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Israel. Both of these men, Sanballat and Tobiah, were men of influence and political authority. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was near him and said, even what they are building, if a fox would jump on it, it would break their stone wall down. Mocking, despising. And you know how it works today? It comes to us when we're alone. It comes to us at night in those words. And shoo, shoo. Look, you might lose your job. You don't have money for your bills. You got all of this stuff, all of these concerns, and you're going to do what? You're going to try to help rebuild what? You're going to try to see the kingdom. What, are you kidding me? Verse 4, I love Nehemiah. You know why? He was a man of prayer. He was a man that would persevere, and he was a man of prayer. Hear, O our God, how we are despised. Return the reproach on their heads. Give them up for their plunder and their land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before you. For they have what? Demoralized the builders. You know, everything in our society, I believe, except for maybe salmon, flows to the path of least resistance. Water does, electricity does, humans do. Isn't it true, though? It, just in our own natural state, it's like, which path is actually easier? Which path won't cost us as much? Which path won't hurt near as much? Let's go to that one. How can we arrive at the same destination, but do it faster, easier, with less pain? It's quiet. Salmon. Salmon. Demoralize the builders. And I like this, verse 6. So we built the wall. Look, he's just praying, and he says, for they have demoralized the builders. And then the very next sentence is, so we built the wall. I love this guy. So we did it anyway. The whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people, what, had a mind to work. Now when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on and that the breaches began to be closed, they were what? They were very angry. These guys just lived mad. You know what? They were just... All of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and cause a disturbance. They weren't ready to quit yet. The enemies were not ready to quit. But we prayed, here's Nehemiah again, but we prayed to our God. And because of them, we set up a guard against them night and day. Thus in Judah it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing, yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. And our enemies said, they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. When the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times, the other Jews that heard this came to them 10 times to tell them, look, these guys are coming, and they're going to come at night. They will come against us from every place where you may turn. Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space. I love this about Nehemiah. You read this, you know what you always find? You find him praying and doing. Praying and doing, praying and doing. The space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people and families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, I rose up and spoke to the nobles, to the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Fight for them. Fight for the people of our city. Fight for the people where we work at. Fight for this nation. Fight for the nations. Fight not only for them, but for the next generation. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that what? God had frustrated their plans. Then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. From that day on, half of my servants carried the work on the work while half of them held spears. I love this. When I joined the Navy, I went into the Seabees. And the Seabees are construction battalion. And that's what we learned to do exactly this. We would have our weapon on one hand and we'd be driving a piece of equipment or working on a piece of equipment. Servants carried on the work, while half of them held spears, the shields and the bows and the breastplates, and the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand, doing the work on the other, holding a weapon. We need to learn to do this. We need to learn to do this. We need to learn what our weapons are and how to use them effectively and efficiently while we're working. To overcome discouragement. Now sometimes God will change our course. Sometimes we jumped on a course that isn't really where God wants to, and we need to change. We need to get off course and get in alignment with Him. And we've got to be sensitive and discerning to that and understand that. And not be just so dog determined that we're going to do whatever we want to do, but know what God is actually saying to do. See, we've got to know that in our heart. See, Nehemiah went forward because he knew what God said to do. It wasn't a question. It wasn't a doubt. Because when you're backed by the authority of God and doing what He says to do, then He supplies everything. He supplied the men. He supplied the weapons. He supplied the materials. He supplied everything to do that. But discouragement still come. Resistance and opposition will still come. But as long as we continue to turn to the Lord and ask God and receive from the Lord, He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us discernment. He'll frustrate the plans of the enemy. See, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to take a few minutes before we leave that I know, and I put you on the spot, Russ, because you shared a great testimony with me by text yesterday, and Dwight also shared a vision that he had with me this morning. But if you have just a testimony that you would like to share, I would love for you to do that. And could I start with you? Sure. Would that be all right?
You want me to get the mic?
Yeah, that would be. Where is it at?
Joe knows I can never turn down an invitation to talk. Week before Labor Day weekend, my business pretty much just dies. And so I had money in the bank, I paid a bunch of bills, and forgot that my business was just going to die. Actually, I really didn't want to believe that, but that's the reality of it. And so yesterday, I realized that I'd actually paid more bills than I had money for. And so I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust You in this. I'm going to trust You. I'm not going to freak out about it. And then I had this peace just come over me, and I just let go of it. 15 minutes later, over $1,000 had come in. In 15 minutes. And, you know, when you're in business, sometimes you get jobs that, you know, you work on them for 3 hours and you make $25. And sometimes you get jobs where you work on them for 25 minutes and you make $100. Well, I had three, and I'm not bragging, but this is what I'm trying to share is the Lord's favor, His blessing. And in, you know, being in alignment with God, He really allows that to happen to your life. And He's just showed that to me so much lately. It's just overwhelming. But anyway, so it was pretty profound. It was one of those two jobs, $330 an hour and a half. I mean, you know, there's been some times where it took me 2 days to make $330. He blessed me with two jobs, so He knew that I needed to be able to enjoy my family and, you know, had our grandkids over and stuff. He knew what was going on, so that's pretty much it.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Enjoy. Hallelujah.
You know, God is so good. I had a vision the other day that, well, it's been a couple of weeks ago, and I've been fighting it. Church about it. just had this vision that we was in this church and the people would lined up around the wall, praising God, holding hands, and I seen this huge light in the middle of this church. And it was this evil darkness trying to come in this church, and there's so much love in this church. This thing tried to come in, but it couldn't get in. It couldn't get in. Because there was so much love in this church, people was praising God. And you know, that really touched my heart, that God would show me things like that, you know. And you know, there's so much hate in the world, you know. God wants us to love one another. And, you know, people that despitefully use you and hate you, you know, you need to give them love. Because if they don't know Jesus, they don't have love in their heart. That's the kind of thing that happens, you know. And I was just thinking, you know, when Jesus came to this world, you know, he had a lot of love in his heart. He had a lot of love for people because he died on the cross for us. And he hung on the cross, and that blood that shed for us, you know. And you know, God has been dealing with me about love. And because when it says, when I argue with my wife or say unkind things, that's not from God. That's not from God. I mean, that's Satan wants you to do things like that. But when you say kind and loving things, that is love. You know, and it's just, when I was a little boy, I said, Lord, I talked to the Lord then, you know, a little boy, I said, Lord, I don't want to ever have hate in my heart or hurt somebody or anything like that. I want to have love in my heart. I want to love people that, you know, I see somebody that's hurt. I want to stop and see what I can do, put my arm around them, whatever to do. You know, and I told the Lord, I want to be used. Anytime that I can help somebody or anything that I can do, I was standing in line here a while back, and a lady was counting out change, trying to buy her groceries, and she said, I don't have enough money to do that. And God said, you dig in your pocket, and you take care of that. You know, and I said, honey, I said, here, I got your change. You know, that's the kind of thing the Lord wants us to do, you know, to reach out to people, you know, to have that love in our heart, to have the love of Jesus in our heart. You know, that's what it's all about, you know, and you know, and I want to do what the Lord wants me to do.
I like that vision because it was a wall, of course we were talking about a wall, of us, of people, and that love that the enemy couldn't penetrate. It was really good. You have some?
Lately, my schedule in life has mainly just been like working in prayer room and stuff over at IHOP, and I've just been struggling a lot because like I'm not in school and I don't feel like I'm like, you know, pursuing anything, like creating anything that has a lot of progress, and I just feel like I'm living to work, which really bums me out. And so I've been like praying every day to like just have like the joy of the Lord like all over me. Like I want to affect people by just my presence, like in the Lord. And like, I don't know, like have you ever seen people that just glow? Like I just want to glow like really bad. And so like I've been struggling a lot, like especially the last 3 weeks, like, and I've just been praying hardcore for it, like crying out in the prayer room and stuff and asking for it. And it's happened like maybe like 3 times where I've actually like, okay, because I work in the mornings, I have to get up at 4 a.m. to be at work at 5:30 in the morning, and I am not a morning person at all, ever. Like I don't like talking to people in the morning about 11 o'clock. I'm like, hey, but no. And so like it's really hard because most of the people that come up and see me, they're like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't mean to be like, you know, look like I'm pissed off or something, because I'm not at all. I'm usually just thinking about something. But anyway, so I've been like having issues because I'm like, God, I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm just working. And, yeah, I'm seeking after him with my whole heart, but I've been feeling like my love is so weak because, I don't know, I can't love his people well, and I don't feel like I can love him well. I just feel like my love level is very weak. And, like, it's brought me to tears so many times because I'm like, God, I'm not even going to make it through the tribulation. I'm not even going to make it past, like, the great falling away. Like, my love isn't strong enough to hold on to you. Like, I'm saying like a lot. It's really annoying me. But anyway. And so, too much Facebook? It's ridiculous. And so, I don't even know where I'm going anymore. So I just, like, it's brought me to tears so many times because I'm like, I don't feel like you have to hold on to me, God. Like, you can't let me go because I'm going to fall. Like, I'm not strong enough. My love is not strong enough. And so last night we were at the Awakening Services, which is this big revival that's going on at IHOP. It's like Thursday through Saturday every single night. Like, people are getting healed. Like, all this crazy stuff is happening. And I've been going, like, very diligently just because I'm like, I need breakthrough. And just because I want to seek his face. But, they started... story anymore. But pretty much Anna started speaking over me, like, how much God loves me and stuff like that, and I'm like, I'm so numb right now. Like, I don't feel any of that. Like, I don't understand any of that. That doesn't make sense. And so I start crying because I'm like, God, if I can't receive your love, then I can't love you. And that really bothers me. And so, like, I was crying, and the Lord gave her this awesome letter that she was supposed to write to me about, like, how he felt about me. And I, like, read it, and I'm like, I got nothing. And so, like, she walks away, and then I'm still crying and, like, trying to, like, focus on the Lord and just crying. And they start singing about how... God loves our weak love, and which is one of the songs I was singing today, just because that's my song right now. But how God loves my weak love. And then he started, one of the people called out, like, people who felt just like their love was weak, like, I don't know, they've been orphaned and they don't have anything to give, and I don't know. I raised my hand, and they started calling out, like, people with, like, because of, like, a spiritual condition, like, hurts in your heart and stuff, like, physical, like, manifestations, like, and I have a stomach condition that hurts all the time. And so, like, it's been one of those things that I've been really submitting to the Lord because I'm like, I don't want this anymore. Like, I don't need this. You have not spoken. Like, this is not your plan for me, is to have this. I'm not supposed to be hurting. And so, like, so I, like, throw my hand up, and these two girls come and pray for me, and they're, like, prophesying over me and stuff, and they start speaking about, like, I don't know, just not needing to earn his love, and how I'm perfect in my weakness and stuff, and, like, at the same time, I'm, like, hearing all this, and I'm like, it's good, it's good, it's good. And they kind of, like, get up, and then Anna comes back over and prays for me, and all of a sudden I was just like crying. All of a sudden I hear the Lord. He's like, your love is so good. Your love is so good. And, like, you're seeking me with your whole heart. I am so proud of you. Like, there's absolutely no way I'm letting you go. There's absolutely no way I'm letting you go. Your love is so good. And oh man, it just, like, broke me. And then I could read the letter, and I'm like, falling apart. Like, the presence of the Lord was, like, so intense. I'm, like, trembling. I'm like, oh. And I turned to Anna. I was like, my love is good. And then she starts freaking out and laughing and couldn't stop for, like, 40 minutes. But, yeah, anyway.
Anybody else? Yeah. Did you have your hand up too? You want him to go first? You do? You want to defer? Okay.
Hi, I'm Joe, and most of you don't know me at all, except for like as the crazy dancing guy. But anyway, I've been going through a tough divorce where there's been a lot of pain and a lot of emotional hurt for many years. And the Lord has been, sometimes it felt like I've been getting more beat up than anything else, and that, you know, my hope has just been down a lot. And it goes from just being in emotional pain all the time and suffering to I started to get plantar fasciitis in my foot and bone spurs and just having a hard time just walking every day. And combination of that stuff was, you know, starting to come out, and I just kept seeking the Lord, and something good actually happened. I was able to lead somebody that I'd been playing in that basketball league with when I was hurting with my foot. I led them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ last weekend, so. And it's just, you know, even though things seem to never get better, God uses our pain and our suffering and our anguish, and sometimes you feel like you're getting beat up by him all the time, but, you know, just keep pursuing him and keep going after him, because, you know, it's kind of like what Paul and Silas did. They were going through a lot and being tormented by the devil, and then they get beat up and thrown in prison, and they're, you know, in bad shape, but they kept seeking the Lord and crying out to him, and something good happened. Somebody got saved and his whole house. So anyway, I just wanted to share that.
I haven't even hardly been to church lately, and why would you have me to tell your people this? But he wouldn't leave me alone about it, and so I'm here. I did have to kind of write it down because I was very specific, and he kind of let me know that was okay to do that. So anyway, he says that I'm to tell you that this is for his people, my people. This is what I think of you. Let's see. That's the part where he impressed me to tell you that. It's for the people that are present here, that he loves you and he sees and cares about you and is pleased with your desires and your expectations of him. And he says that in the struggles, as much as what they feel and what they are and the burdens that you are bearing right now, that he is shining forth in and through those times. And that those, they're for specific reasons to bring us to what he has for us. He's glorified. He's glorified and he is revealed to all his people in this way. When you have known the burden and the loss and the hardship, the burden and the hardship, that is when you will have boldness and will shine forth in and through him. He wants you to know that you have been brought to this place for a specific purpose. He wants you to be encouraged and to know that you are special and that he glorifies in your glory of him, and that he is your God. God is your God. He's the great I am. He is the royalty. Royalty, for some reason, is very specific. What we go through here, if we can take it and multiply it and fill the depths of it at our lowest despairing time, that is just a tiny, tiny little speck and a reflection of what we have to look forward to when we're with him. And he's asking us to hang on and to persevere and don't give up. He's saying that people who have, especially people like me who have had struggles with depression, those are the depths of the despair of where his glory is. I mean, he is to be glorified out of that darkness so that the light can shine ever so much brighter. He wants us to have the expectation of what he's saying to us, but it is so hard in our humanness to have any little inkling of really what he's all about, what he's going to show us, and what the earth is going to be like in our heavenly home with him later is going to be like. So.
This work for you guys? Okay. Does that work, Jay? Okay, cool. You're welcome. No. Just kidding. So. The Lord has been, like, really working in my heart, like, ridiculous amount. The last couple of weeks been testing me and breaking me and, like, showing me and filling me, and it's been awesome. Kind of along the same lines of what Noel was talking about. I want to be, like, a torch, a lamp for him. Like, I want people to look at me, and I want them to stop and be like, why do you look different? Like, what's different about you? And, like, that's one of the best ways we can witness to somebody is to be different. And that's what my prayer has been to God. And like IHOP, I don't know how familiar you guys are with IHOP, but IHOP is a very crazy place to walk into if you're not very confident in who you are and God. And there's just been a lot of stuff that's been going on that's really been testing me and who I am in God and what I feel like I'm, who I am to God, and just my witness. And the Lord last night, and one of the things is the joy of the Lord. Like, I want the joy of the Lord so bad. Like, so bad, you know? Because God's so awesome. And that's one thing that he's really been awakening in me is how much I love him. Like, I love God. I kept saying that to Noel last night. I love God. Like, it's ridiculous. I cry every time I think about it. And more importantly, God loves me. Like, and that's what he kept showing me. Like, I've had so many words spoken to me is, yeah, God understands you love him, and he thinks that's amazing and all that jazz, but he loves you. And, like, he wants to show you how much he loves you because that's who he is. So he's really been driving that home to me. But just the joy of the Lord has been my prayer. And you see people at IHOP, and they just laugh. They just laugh and laugh, and they don't ever stop. And you can see that God, like, just they're happy because God is ministering to them and, like, he's showing them all of that. And I was praying for Noelle last night, and I was just praying for her because where she was at and, like, really trying to minister. One thing God's been talking to me is you're different than everybody else. You know, I don't want you to act the way they act. If I reveal things to your heart, you're going to react the way I have you. Like, I'm in complete control of you. your heart is mine, so you need to be confident in what I'm doing in you. And so it doesn't matter what you do, what you say, the things, how you act, because I'm in control of you. You've given me your heart. I'm working and I'm ministering. And last night, he just brought me to a newer level of him and his love for me and, like, how he really intends us to live. When she looked over at me, I came and sat down. It was the funniest thing ever. I sat down, and she just looks at me, and, like, she's got her tear-stained face and everything. She's been crying her eyes out, and she goes, "My love is good. My love is strong." And I'm just sitting there, and I'm looking at her like, "Are you being serious? Or are you just saying that? Do you really feel it?" And she's like, "He loves me. My love is good. My love is strong." So I start crying. I just start laughing because the Lord, I had written her a letter that the guy felt God was telling me to write her about how much he loves her. And, like, he broke me when I was writing that letter. Like, I was just crying because he's pouring into me how much he loved her. He was like, "This is how much I love her, this, this, and this." So I was laughing because I was like, yes, she finally gets it. Like, she, like, understands. And the Lord just started ministering to me how much he loves me and just put his joy inside of me. And I just started laughing and laughing and laughing some more. And I laughed some more, and I couldn't quit. And seriously, and it was so cool because God was like, "This is how you're supposed to walk every single day." And he was like, "None of my people smile like they're supposed to." He's like, "You guys are supposed to be smiling all the time." He's like, "You're supposed to laugh." He's like, "You laugh at people's jokes, but you don't just laugh. Like, you don't walk outside and you don't look at the world I created, which is a testament to my glory, and you don't smile." He's like, "You guys were created to be joyful. You guys were created to praise me. You were created to see all of this stuff and be happy." And he's like, "You guys aren't." And he just kept, like, hitting me over and over and over, and I almost had hyperventilated because I couldn't breathe. But it was really funny, and no pun intended. But it was really awesome, and he was just showing me how much, like, he loves me, how much he loves everybody and his plan. Like, we're supposed to smile. We're supposed to be happy creatures. We all walk around like this. We sit in service. We praise God. Like, we don't, like, it's so status quo for us just to sit there like that. And God's like, "No, that's not what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to smile and be happy. And I love you. And that should be enough for you to smile." So, yeah, that was my testimony. So.
Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I want to share a couple things before we leave, and this will be relatively short. And I have no relatives that are short. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to turn there, but it's Romans chapter 5. Amen. I know. Since Jamal said that, this is going to take a while. Verse 3 of chapter 5 in Romans says, "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations." Oh, really? "Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character." See, character is not character till it's proven. Love isn't love till it's proven and tested. "Proven character and prove a character hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." I'm sure you've heard this, but God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. I went by this and didn't make a note of it, but as I was listening to testimonies, I was reminded of this. From the book of Nehemiah that we read, Sanballat and Tobiah, when they were ridiculing the Jews for rebuilding and talking to the wealthy people of Samaria, one of the things he said is, "Can they rebuild with these burned out stones?" And those stones represent people. And the answer is yes. God will rebuild with burned out stones. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you stand with me? God, we thank you. We love you so much. You are so good to us, Lord God. Father, we admit to you, we don't understand your ways all the time. We don't understand sometimes the things that are happening to us that we're going through. But we do know this. We have a God in whom we can trust, a God that holds on to us and we can hold on to him, who can turn those things, Father, that don't seem to make any sense, those things that even seem to bring hurt and pain and sorrow. But you can turn any situation to good for those who love you and are called according to your name. We thank you, Father God. We love you. God, I ask for your blessing on this group of people this morning. That, Father, the joy of the Lord would be in their heart, that we'd be a grateful people, we'd be a thankful people, that our minds would be set on who you are and what we have in you, God, and not what we're lacking, not in our need, but in you, Father. God, take us. Some of us are burned out stones. Take us and shape us and fit us together, God. Lord, we are so grateful for what you're doing in Independence with other churches and the unity and the relationships that we're building. And God, we pray in advance for next week, Lord, that as we have Grace Christian Fellowship with us, Father, that God, that you would just do a work among us and help us to unite and come into relationship, Father, for your purpose and your kingdom, Lord, in a greater measure, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you would like